This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. I realized something recently. Half of my favorite films from the last few years happened to be directed by women. There was The Hurt Locker by Kathryn Bigelow, who became the first woman to win an Oscar for Best Director. And Persepolis, Marjane Satrapi's animated film about Iran. This spring, I loved the movie Friends with Kids, directed by Jennifer Westfeldt. And now, this summer, Your Sister's Sister by Lynn Shelton and Take This Waltz by Sarah Polley are absolute delights. So I got to thinking, have we reached a tipping point for women directors? Yes and no. Of the 250 big Hollywood movies that came out last year in America, women directed only 5% of them. But when it comes to commercial and critical breakthroughs among smaller independent films, a real shift seems to have happened. Sarah Polley noticed it too.
When I had my very first short film at the Sundance Film Festival, I was looking desperately around for another female filmmaker, and I think I found two. And I remember when I had Away From Her there, 40% of the filmmakers at Sundance were women.
Sarah Polley's new film, Take This Waltz, is populated by characters who feel refreshingly real and particular, unlike most of the comedies and dramas Hollywood is now churning out. And Polley cast comedic actors like Seth Rogen and Sarah Silverman against type in serious roles. The scripts that come Silverman's way tend to be low-rent comedies, so she was surprised, thrilled, to get the part of a woman struggling unfunnily with alcoholism. In this scene, she confronts her philandering sister-in-law, played by Michelle Williams.
Hey. Hi. How you doing? I haven't seen you in a real long time.
Okay.
Really long time. Is this what it takes to get you back? How you been?
What happened, Geraldine?
I'm an alcoholic, moron. Nothing happened. This is my natural state. What happened? Really? Why wouldn't I ask that of you? You just disappeared, Margot. What a f***ing obvious move. You think that everything can be worked out if you just make the right move? That must be thrilling. I think it's thrilling. I don't agree.
If you look at the great movies that used to get made out of Hollywood, the characters were a pain in the butt. Like, you know, Betty Davis' characters were, like, difficult and prickly and brittle. And,
or Joan Crawford or Barbara Stanwyck.
They were, like, the idea of the broad used to be there. And that was sexy. It wasn't, like, the sideshow character actor part. It was, like, the main leading lady was a broad who was a real piece of work. And I think this idea that we have to like everybody all the time makes for really boring movies because we don't recognize ourselves in it. We all have a certain amount of self-loathing that's healthy. And I just think there's no room for tension or for things to be truly funny when everyone has to be nice all the time.
That's a great point. Or for the audience to figure out, do I like her? Don't I like her? How do I like her?
Yeah, and how can I like this person when these things about them are so objectionable, which is how we feel about so many people in our lives.
To understand why directors like Sarah Polley are thriving, I also talked with Ann Thompson, one of our best film journalists. She's been at Variety, The Hollywood Reporter, and now runs the blog Thompson on Hollywood. She says, look at how the independent scene has changed since its first heyday in the early 90s. Films like Take This Waltz can now be shot quickly, nimbly, cheaply. And the low budgets force the process to be very collaborative.
I think that is their strength, and I think that the new indie model that is emerging is a much more kind of collaborative barter talent, share roles, do writing, do directing, do producing, bring in friends to help you, and all these filmmakers are sort of roaming the country, helping each other make films in all these different locations and all these different ranges of experience, and it works. It works. Women are really good at that kind of thing, and that's exactly what Lynn Shelton is doing.
The budget for Lynn Shelton's new movie, Your Sister's Sister, was $125,000, about 5% or less of what it cost to make one episode of a big-time TV show. She shot it in 12 days, which was luxurious compared to her previous film, the comedy Hump Day.
for me as a director, my passion is finding the scene with the actors and really unlocking, you know, what's the shape of this thing and how are we going to really get it good? And as opposed to spending a whole day setting up the perfect crane shot, you know. So on a normal movie set, out of a 12-hour day, the actor works about 1.5-2 hours, maybe tops. And in this scenario, it's the opposite. So they're working really hard and a lot, like 10, 11 hours out of the 12-hour day, because there isn't that much lighting. You know, there's not that much technical stuff.
You shoot digitally? Or?
Yes, so that I can just... I mean, Hump Day, we had 40-minute takes sometimes.
40-minute takes. In the old days of expensive film, that wouldn't have been possible, which is why small, arty movies used to look so rough around the edges. But Lynn Shelton's Your Sister's Sister is beautiful and fully cinematic.
And it's wonderful because it means that people can actually just do what I do, which is pick up a camera and call up your friends and say, let's go make a movie. And that was our philosophy with Hump Day. It was like, you know, we're really going to go for it. We're going to try and make a believable movie out of this ridiculous premise. And if we fail, like, we'll just shove it under the rug. Like, you know, we don't have any big studio.
That's
you know?
Nice. Which is so unmovie-like. Writers do that all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But with it's very low stakes, you know, when you're able to do it this way.
Which is why the acting in her films feels so natural. In this scene from Your Sister's Sister, Mark Duplass comes upon Rosemary DeWitt drinking all by herself.
So, you're on an island. It's 3 a.m. and you're drinking by yourself.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Really?
I'm not good for small talk, so I apologize if I'm barging through the doors of your privacy now.
Yeah, it's okay. You kind of are, but
I apologize. Let's talk about your slippers.
Okay, let's talk about my slippers.
Your slippers are awesome.
I just walked out on a 7-year relationship.
Whoa.
Hence the tequila.
I am a control freak. I'm a total control freak. And so it was terrifying to be on the set of my first feature. I'd only been on the post side before I actually directed my own. And I'm going up to everybody saying, hi, what's your name? How are you? What's your job? A gaffer. What do they do? You know, like I really was like film school.
Did you have to learn how to be the commander? Because even on any kind of movie, the director is the autocrat.
You know, it really wasn't hard for me to be Miss Bossy Pants.
You were just waiting for the opportunity?
It turns out, yeah. And I realized, too, I remember my very first day of directing in my first feature, and about halfway through the day, I remember going to the bathroom and looking at myself in the mirror and sort of saying, you know, I'm just doing my job just like everybody else. Like everybody has, it's like I'm a cog in the machine. There's this beautiful, well-oiled machine. Everybody knows what their job is. And mine just happens to be having the vision of the overall creative vision for what it is that we're actually doing there.
Sarah Polley says this new generation of female filmmakers may be changing the very idea of what a director is supposed to be.
The stereotype of a director has also been defined by this idea of this kind of, you know, macho attitude of also, you know, I know everything, I can do everything, I'm capable of everything, when in fact it's a completely collaborative medium, probably more so than any other art form. I'm hoping that that will shift as there are more female directors, that we don't have to maintain this charade of us knowing the entire process as though we're just, you know, have hired people to do what we don't have hands to do. The truth is we rely heavily on our cinematographers, on our production designers, on our, you know, costume designers, and on our actors to do what we can't do ourselves.
And what about that positive gender stereotype of women are better at that kind of more subtle bossiness and the collaborative nature? Is that true in your experience?
It's true and not true. I've worked with some great male directors
who are also
very, very collaborative and some really dictatorial women. So I don't think it's so obviously that. But yeah, I think in a very, very generalized way, I think women can be good at admitting what they don't know more readily. And I think that can kind of get held against them at times in the current climate. But
who holds it against them?
I feel like, you know, when you're promoting a film, for instance, people kind of want a strong personality. People kind of want to know that you were some kind of mad, tormented artiste.
Be the auteur.
Yes, and that made people crazy. And, you know, they have such a distinct way of working. And the question I love is, how did you get that performance out of that actor? So everything you've done has been, you know, sort of Machiavellian.
I shot a pistol behind his head and he wasn't aware.
With all these indie women directors making such extraordinary work now, you'd think the studios would be banging down their doors, asking Sarah Polley, Lynn Shelton, Lisa Cholodenko, Jennifer Westfeld, or Catherine Bigelow to give a fresh spin on the next alien invasion slash superhero slash secret agent blockbuster. Uh-uh. Here's the journalist Ann Thompson.
Catherine Bigelow is an enormous exception, and the reason that she was able to make The Hurt Locker was that she did it, first of all, she's known for being a man's director in a way. She puts men in her movies. She does action. She's not doing female genres, and she's resolutely not interested in doing them. But what she did do was do it independently, and the Bin Laden movie that's coming up later this year was raised overseas as well. And if women can raise their own funding, then they can get the movies made.
And will this change? I mean, in 10 years, will we see women directing what have been traditionally male movies, big action movies, big budget movies, CG movies, all of it?
No. I've been watching this a really long time, you know, and it depresses me no end. And I don't think that a studio had, even Amy Pascal, you know.
Who runs a studio.
Has had her hand slapped, you know, when she's tried to make so-called chick flicks. They've done badly. She's been chastised for it. Therefore, she's putting a recast version of Spider-Man out this summer that has absolutely no reason for being. You know, that's what they think they have to do, as smart as they are. And they are smart. That's what kills me.
Sarah Polley agrees. There's still this stereotype that women are only fit to make what they mostly get to make. Intimate character pieces focusing on relationships.
Women aren't really trusted with anything else right now. I mean, I know female filmmakers who would love to make, you know, an action film or, you know, a horror film or some kind of thriller, and they just don't get the financing for those kinds of movies. So I think that women aren't necessarily trusted with subject matter other than this. It happens to be what I'm interested in, to make these intimate character dramas, and I'm lucky. But if I ever wanted to do something else, I think it would be more challenging.
For the last few decades, Hollywood has more than ever been putting its chips on male directors making movies for teenaged males. But recent would-be blockbusters like Battleship and John Carter, total flops. Ann Thompson.
I mean, the studios are stumbling right now. They don't know how to make romantic comedies anymore. They don't know how to make dramas. They're terrified of these genres because they're so execution dependent. And they seem to be completely avoiding the fact that there's, you know, a huge demand for movies that are aimed at women, that have a women's point of view. And there's demonstrable statistical evidence that movies like Mamma Mia and, you know, Bridesmaids do really, really well at the box office. So why don't the studios pay attention to this? It's because they're used to doing things the old way, and they're used to hanging on to these old conventional ideas.
They'd better come to their senses soon, because a giant screen and giant speakers and $8 popcorn aren't enough to get me to a theater to see the same old boys and their toys. Studio 360's Eric Malinsky produced this segment with me, and you can hear my full interviews with Sarah Polley and Lynn Shelton at studio360.org.